Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes, better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
Five star. It's the
job. Welcome back to the Crab Feast, y'all. Another tooth.
Mm-hmm.
A Crab Feast for that night.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, Jay Larson comedy. I felt good. I felt like I was doing it by myself. That's how in pitch touch it was. Then we jumped off the tracks.
We got like louder within that pitch.
Settled nice, though.
Good to be here, Sickle. Feaster Nation, great to be here with you. As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy on all social media. For those of you that have picked up my special, Me Being Me, which is available only at my website, I appreciate you. I love you. I love most of Feast Nation. There's a couple of you. But if you haven't, go over there and take a look. I'm very proud of it, and it's been there for a minute now, and I hope you guys enjoy it. And then Boston, I will be out at Laugh Boston April 26th through the 28th. That's down the road. Everything else will be in town. I'm usually at the Comedy Store a couple nights a week, so just keep an eye out for those. And I love seeing Feaster Nation everywhere. I did a couple shows this week down at the Rec Room and the Comedy Store where like people shouted out, hey, playa, or fuck the Crab Feast. And I'm like, oh, it's so nice that when it's something, they just are there because they're comedy fans.
I love it.
So I love you guys to death. Sickle Cell.
Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. I'm loving the feedback from the bonus episode. You guys are... You're great. You're so appreciative. You're so fucking polite. I love you. Just, you know, keep tuning in every week. Share the episodes. You're going to get a lot more stuff to be able to share with your friends. You'll be able to say, look at this fucking podcast. In the time being, for any and all things Crab Feast related, go to thecrabfeast.com. You get your merch. And make sure you get your merch. Make sure you wear it. Make sure you support it. Send us some pictures of it. We'd love to put it up. And then make sure you follow the Crab Feast. We're on Facebook and we're on Twitter, guys. Jump over there, follow along. You'll see everything you need to see over there. Got another great sponsor. And as you guys know, Jay and I love comfort. We've gone looking for bedding at gas stations. That is no lie. We have absolutely bought sheets at gas stations. We've discovered some brand new bedding. Gas stations no more, playa. Brooklinen.com. Do you know you spend a third of your life in your sheets? They absolutely make a difference with how you sleep. You can start getting better sleep with the best sheets right now. Brooklinen.com. They're the best, most comfortable sheets. No big markup. You can upgrade your sheets and your nightly routine, and it'll help you feel more well-rested every day. They were founded in April of 2014 by husband and wife team Vicky and Rich Fulop. Their philosophy, the most beautiful, comfortable home essentials. No crazy prices. There's no unnecessary markups and fees. You know, most bedding is marked up as much as 300%, which is absurd. Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world. Right now, they have over 15,000 five-star reviews. Y'all could step up a little bit and help the feast out with that, players. Brooklinen Sheets named the winner of the best of online bedding category by Good Housekeeping. They're versatile colors and patterns. You can mix and match to try to complement any decor. This is luxury bedding underpriced. You have to try these sheets today. My Brooklinen Sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. I got them on the bed now. I wash them and put them right back on. I don't even put another set on. It's Brooklinen all the time for me. Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer just for our listeners. You can get $20 off and free shipping when you use our promo code CRAB, C-R-A-B, at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. I mean, come on. 60 nights you get to try them out. And then once you get them, you got a lifetime warranty on all your sheets and comforters. You can't go wrong with that. You cannot go wrong with that. I know you're out there thinking, my sheets are scratchy. I'm laying here listening to this podcast right now, and I could use some comfort. Well, the only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code CRAB at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com, promo code CRAB. Brooklinen, these are the best sheets ever. If you're hiring, every business out there needs great people and a better way to find them. Something better than posting your job online and just praying for the right people to see it. All right, so if you're out there posting your position to job sites and waiting for the right people, you're wasting your time. We all know it's difficult to find good people to work with, and our guy ZipRecruiter will take care of you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. They knew there was a smarter way, so they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. These invitations have revolutionized how you find your next hire. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day, and ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications you receive, so you never miss a great match. The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/crab. That's ZipRecruiter.com/crab. I'm going to say it one more time for y'all. ZipRecruiter.com/crab. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
And last but not least, Squarespace.com. You know, guys, when I did my new website to put on my special, we used Squarespace, and it was the coolest, easiest way that I was able to make a website, where back in the day, you need to hire a designer, you needed somebody that knew what they were doing. Now, Squarespace makes it simple and easy. If you have a cool idea, you want to make a website, you want to showcase your work, you want to start a blog or publish content, sell products, whatever it is, something you might be sitting in the back of your head, you've been waiting to do for a while, Squarespace allows you to do it. Because nowadays, if you don't have a website, people don't know what you're doing. And they use world-class designers to create their templates so they're unique and look like they've been designed by someone that you hire privately. They have great e-commerce functionality, lets you sell anything online, ability to customize the look and feel, settings, products, and more with just a few clicks. Everything optimized for mobile right out of the box, which is huge. You know, sometimes people know this, you design a website and then people can't get it on their phones because it's not set up that way. Squarespace already has it done for you. So what they're doing right now for us, if you go to squarespace.com, get a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use the offer code CRAB, C-R-A-B, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com, .com, code CRAB. Get over there today and start with whatever it is that you want to get out to the world. Start doing it today. And the one thing we're getting out the world today is this week's episode.
Well done.
You know what I mean?
You're like very that. Well. I like all your fucking, almost all your transitions.
I know you love those.
Even the ones I don't like, I like because that's why I like them.
Okay. And we've had her on before. We're excited to have her back. It's been a long time. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the Crab Feast.
Back!
Sarah Tiana!
Sarah Tiana!
Welcome back to the Crab Feast, girl.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
I feel so good.
Like I was on like the third one.
I don't know about the third, but it was close.
Maybe the fourth.
It was up.
We would have had you sooner, but the reviews just couldn't back it. You know what
yes.
I mean?
We're
just
four
like,
stars.
We just can't.
I have so many of your fans that come to my shows, you know, and I see them with the Crab Feast 5 stars, you know, fucking for Crab Feast 5 stars.
I mean, we have so many people to tell us that. It makes us feel so good that our fans are that supportive of not only us, but yeah, people that come on here. You told us your mom is a big fan.
Oh, huge fan.
I remember one time she told you we had said something about you. It's always positive,
yeah,
of course.
She'll
but
text
she's like,
me
oh,
right
the guys. Yeah.
She listens to podcasts while she's making the cat bandanas and the dog bow ties for my shows. You know, I sell those at my shows. You can also buy them on catbandana.com. We have a website.
That's yours?
It's ours. We own it. Don't try to buy it because we have it.
I'm going to put that in my GoDaddy queue. Wait for y'all to slip up.
Q. Is that available yet?
.org.
I put it in there. Just wait for y'all to slip.
Web.uk. Yeah, so she listens to it. She's a big fan, so I'm sure she'll tweet at you guys.
I love it.
Yeah. Sue.
Oh, my God. Sue. You are
not even going to believe this.
Sue Tiana! Get over here, girl.
Get your ass out of here, Sue. Have a seat at the table.
Let me ask you something. You know, my mom's a Sue.
Uh-huh.
How'd your mom cook her meatballs? She make meatballs?
My mom didn't. She was more of a lasagna.
More of a lasagna girl.
Lasagna,
huh?
Yeah. She didn't really. My aunt was the one that made the meatballs.
How were they?
They're awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. She probably cooked them. That's the crock pot ones, mm-hmm. You know, where they just simmer. Yeah.
How long she simmering for?
2-3 minutes?
Oh.
That's how Sue does. That's how my Sue does.
You know what my mom always did that I still enjoy? Like, it's the only way I can eat my scrambled eggs is in the microwave. My mom made them in the microwave, and they're so much better. They're so fluffy.
I can't.
And we would put a little cream cheese in them.
Hell yeah. There
you go. Whoo, buddy. Yeah. So that was like, we would always have that because my mom only got that during special occasions when she was growing up. So then when she got older,
scrambled
she's
eggs?
No, with the cream cheese.
Oh, I was going to say, man, where the hell did she grow up? Hey, listen, everybody. It's Christmas. We're doing scrambled eggs today.
In put the microwave.
Put down that dirt bowl. Getting scrambled eggs.
Oh, my God. We had so many. Yeah. And then that was also the era. You remember the appliances that went under the cabinet? Did you ever have those? Like the under-the-counter coffee maker or the under
oh, yeah,
the
yeah, I remember a can ones, opener and
yeah,
shit
so
like
that you had plenty of counter space.
Yeah, but you couldn't get anything.
You get a can of tuna under
there.
You can
never get anything. You're like, why would we have a popcorn maker that just flows? Like, why would you give it more leverage to fall?
Yeah.
It just made no sense.
We had a whole cart, popcorn cart.
Yeah, a cart.
You know what I mean?
Because
we needed the counter
in your
space.
Movie theater room that you had growing up.
So you wheel in the cart from the garage.
I remember our first microwave. I will never forget driving to get it in Randallstown, Maryland, and it was a Magic Chef microwave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was as big as a fucking TV, too.
That thing
was
Magic
it was
Chef.
Like, and it's heavy.
It was just straight up metal.
The
and
Hamilton
shit
Beach
around.
Is a little pricey, so we're gonna have to go with the Magic Chef.
MC, proud sponsor of the Craft Feast, Magic Chef.
Proud sponsor.
Magic Chef microwaves, man. Proud Magic. Sponsor. All right, well, before we get into more of the Craft Feast, will you please plug and promote anything you'd like, your podcast, your social media, your tour dates. Sarah Tiana.
It's all Sarah Tiana, Sarah with an H, Tiana with a Tiana, T-I-A-N-A, like a tiara, but with an N. So this month I'm in La Jolla in the middle of March during the Ides, that period.
Mm-hmm.
And then in April.
Sue Larson's birthday, by the way.
Is it? Mine too. I'm right in there too, man.
Oh, my mom's the 27th. Mm-hmm. Shut
up, March. What's up, Pisces?
That ain't but that ain't the Ides.
That's not the Ides, but it's still March.
I got it.
Sue
it.
In the March. Oh, mm-hmm. My gosh. Jay, so technical all the time.
I'm like,
well, that's not technically. Sarah. That's not technically.
He calls it precise.
Precise. Oh, he would. Bullshit. Yeah, he would. Jay's so precise. How are your socks aligned in your drawer? Are they separated by colors or like the short socks?
They're all
long
just
sock?
In there.
Okay.
You don't just inside out them. That's how I do.
Yeah, you go like
two
that.
Together, make
like
you're
ball. Making a sandwich back.
Throw them in.
Yeah.
My mom used to fold the socks so that you would put your foot in and then you pull it up so that it was like, did you ever? It's like inside
ready
out.
Ready to go?
But they would be in like this long, like cylinder looking thing. So
like
you
a Pringles can?
You pull them.
Like a Pringles can? What's going on over there? What's Sue
down,
doing?
Calm down with your Pringles can. But like, yeah, so I don't know. Then you take them apart and there'd be two and they'd be just a little bit inside out. So like the top part is just hanging out a little bit and then you put your foot
so
in
like
and then pull
foot
it straight
ready?
Out.
You
yeah.
just slide your toes in and then pull it right up.
I love
it. My mom always knew how to fold the bottom sheet too. I still don't know how to do that.
Yeah, a friend of mine's mom and she kept showing me too. You take,
oh,
kept
yeah.
taking a corner and putting it up and I'm like,
no, I don't know.
Just so, you know.
Yeah. So,
speaking of sheets, brooklyn.com.
That's true. Brooklyn.com. Yeah. Sleeping on them tonight again.
In April, I'll be in Nashville. I'll be in Minnesota.
Where are you going to be in Nashville?
For the comedy festival in Nashville.
Oh, dope.
The Wild West Comedy Festival.
Mm-hmm. I was there a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Super fun.
Yeah, I can't really remember where else. I think I might be going to Beirut, but I don't know if anybody here is listening.
Yeah, we got
Beirut.
We have a big audience over in Beirut.
Huge.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Outside the line.
A lot
though.
Of sports fans. Anyway, that's it.
Your podcast.
Oh, Riggle's Picks is the new podcast I have with Rob Riggle. So we talk a lot about just ourselves and sports. He's a big Kansas guy. I'm a big Georgia guy. Girl. I'm a big Georgia guy, too, honestly.
You're more
I have to carry the torch for
guys.
Both. I have to carry the torch for both sides. And then I have another one, John Reap, called Fried. That's all about Southern stuff, and we just call our families a lot. Like John's mom does our movie reviews and stuff like that.
That's nice. That's great.
Yeah, it's really sweet. So we just My niece does all the jingles. She wrote and sings all the jingles.
How old is she?
12.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. She getting residuals?
Beatrice. She's probably going to ask. She texted me on my birthday. That was real nice. That was very
She's working that angle.
Adult of her.
She's got the slow play coming.
I know. Yeah. My family is far superior to me. My sister just got her PhD. It's real. She's really rubbing it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. In what?
In what? Yeah.
Mathematics.
What a loser.
I know, right? Loser. I know. She's like, I have 3 degrees. I'm like, that ain't a lot in Fahrenheit. So just calm down. Come to me with you when you know something.
Seriously, we're talking degrees here.
I mean, cum laude, I got graduated. Wait, arts.
And you went to UGA, didn't you?
I started at UGA and I finished at Georgia State.
Okay, I went by it a bunch on the way to Georgia State where I graduated.
I know, yeah. Well, I went to the University of Georgia, on a field trip in eighth grade. It was real fun. No, I started there and then moved to Georgia State because I was working in Atlanta.
What's the mascot at Georgia State?
The Panthers. It's a blue panther.
Blue panther.
Yeah. But not the blue panthers. It's just the panthers, but some reason it's blue.
They were the pink panthers, and then like, this ain't going to fly.
In Georgia, we have a bulldog that's inbred, so super cool. Super cool.
You worked at Six Flags?
Yeah. I worked in the shows there.
What kind of shows?
The kids shows. I did the kids shows.
Doing what?
Cheery.
Like, was it Looney Tunes?
Yeah, then? It was back when
it
Warner
still
Brothers.
Still is, right? Or no, now it's Marvel? Or?
No, I don't think
What's
there's
Superman?
Any.
Superman?
Oh, yes.
Batman, all that.
Yeah, they
Marvel,
do have
right?
all that. Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
Thanks, Sarah. It's okay.
I'm going to go because now you're right and I don't need to be here.
Get out of here. Take your goddamn stories.
I hosted the Bugs Bunny World Games.
What is that?
It was like a game show for little kids. So I'd be like, you know, it's real cheesy. Like, you don't want to eat Daffy. He's too tough. You know, right, stuff like that.
And you had the mic and all that shit?
I had the head mic, and we did a little song and dance in the beginning and the end.
This is good to know if I ever need to bring you up on stage again.
Don't you worry.
You got to know your credits.
I'm very cheesy when I need to be. And then we had a show. We did a show one summer called What's Up Rock.
Chris Rock was in it? Rock?
Yeah, What's Up Rock? Yeah, he hosted the kids show.
That's tight.
It was real,
Kid
real
Rock
cool.
For the kids show. What's up, Rock?
Kid Rock. Both very good for kids, both of those guys. Mm-hmm. So that was a band that Bugs Bunny like was the head of the band. I was Taz. I played the drums.
The Tasmanian?
Yeah.
Dressed as Taz, you played drums?
How hard is that? I lost 20 pounds that summer. I'm not kidding. It was outside. It was such a good
job.
How long
was the show?
It was 25 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was six times a day.
Six times a day in that heat?
Yeah, in the summer.
And the humidity in Georgia?
Yep. But it was a really great gig for college. It was a salary position.
Salary?
And so during the school year.
Celery. She meant celery. Bugs. Bugs got the carrots. Tiana got the cell.
Yeah, hey, yeah, yeah.
If you don't mind, disclose as a personal information. Where's your Six Flags 401k sitting right now, girl?
I'm not kidding. I probably have some.
I'll bet you do.
I actually don't even. No, I don't have any of that. I only have
What
one
if that's one of those things when you get to be like 65, you're like, $375,000.
That would be amazing.
Just a nice fat fucking bonus.
That's my dream. It's just to stumble into money where I'm like, I'm going to buy a Sea-Doo and be done.
I'm out. I'm with you.
Sea-Doo and done.
We'll just ride off into the abyss.
I'm just living on a pontoon. It's over.
Like a little houseboat. Mm-hmm. Ooh. Yeah. Like Merle
done.
Haggard just up on Lake Shasta just crashing it. Yeah. So anyway, that was great because in the school year, we worked Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. And then during the summer when we were off school, we worked 6 days a week.
You did 36 shows a week?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, I was 19, so it was easy.
Right.
Now I could never do that. I do 7 a week,
you
and
ever
I'm
pee
like,
yourself? You ever pee yourself in the costume?
No.
None of them?
No, I got to wear that all
Other
day.
Other people did, though, didn't they?
I don't think so. We had the Velcro under.
Weird place to go with this.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We just... Yeah,
it's very weird. Yeah, we just sang show tunes in the back. We couldn't wait to get those off.
That's exactly why I asked. Because I would be like, oh, fuck.
Man, I used to wreck kids exactly too. Because after we had to do meet and greet and we had to do autographs, right? We had to learn. We couldn't be in the costume until we learned the autograph. Because they had to be the same at every park.
Yeah.
So no matter where your kid went and they got an autograph, Taz was always the same at every park. So I had to do it left-handed because it only looked right. It was too fancy if I did it with my right hand.
You know, Taz in Orlando is right-handed, girl.
Yeah.
I don't know. This It's Kansas City Taz. It's a southpaw, man. I'm calling poster.
It's very difficult to write, do autographs in a with four fingers, you know, and you're
just
sweating.
Like ripping like this and
listen,
shit.
My uncle's got four fingers and he does all right.
Listen, I come from a four finger family. It was also like kids would just, because I was Taz, they would just.
You said you would wreck them?
Yeah, because they would
what
come up. They'd just like, you know, people would just grab you. And it was, so it's basically just a big head.
Uh-huh.
And it Velcroed all around the head. The head, it was probably a foot to my right and left. And then underneath the costume, there were these foam bars that sat on my shoulders. And that's how I moved the costume the whole time. So was how I made him
dance. So like that went over you like this,
yes.
Rounded, kind of
so
like
how
a
heavy
percussion.
But it was straight across, not rounded. Straight across.
Oh, so way more uncomfortable.
Yeah,
so how heavy do you think?
I wasn't
like
really 30
pounds,
heavy.
20 pounds you carry
maybe
around
20.
All day?
Yeah, maybe. The head was the hard part, you know.
And they come running and flying up to you to hug you
shit? And then I would just like every once in a while and just like like smack them. When I was in Daffy, that was the best because you could get them with the beak real good. And
oh,
Daffy,
like
you were a little bit more
mistake.
Nimble because you had tights.
By mistake. Sounds like she did
well,
intentionally,
you know,
right?
Make it look like a mistake with Daffy.
Tweety Bird was really hard. Tweety played the sax, but that was just like this big. It went all the way down to your knees. It was just like this big head when I knew you had little tights. Ugh, it was a lot.
Yeah. So yeah. Do you have to learn all their autographs?
Yep.
Do Elmer Fudd real quick.
I didn't get to do him. I could probably still write Tweety and Daffy and definitely Taz.
Yeah.
If y'all want me to give you an autograph before I leave, I
Speedy
will.
Gonzalez?
I will. No, he didn't.
I'm a big Speedy fan.
No, I did. Yeah, Sylvester every once in a while. He played the keyboard.
Oh, he
they had Sly on the keys.
Why
huh?
are we talking about this?
Because that's
I'm
where
so
you worked. That's where
I'm
you
so
worked.
So embarrassed, but yes, so that's where I worked in college. And then I left that job and worked for the Braves for like the last 2 years of college. And then I moved to LA.
What did you do at the Braves?
I did the, you know, the shooting the t-shirts out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then before the game, we always had to go out and play with everybody in the entryways. We had all these little, like, we had this helmet that had a tomahawk on it with rings, so then people would toss the rings at you.
Oh, wow.
And really, I did all the work catching it. Like,
yeah.
They were like, oh, yeah, man. I'm like, I'm pretty much the one.
Brace and
yeah,
shit.
Like, I'm the one that caught it. To be honest, I'm the one that caught it. But yeah, you get the credit, sure.
Right.
And then, yeah, we had all those things. We had the gun. We had to go and, like, learn how to do it in Orlando because it started with the Orlando Magic. It was a company called Sports Magic. Yeah. And we had to learn to make balloon animals. I could still make those.
You can?
Mm-hmm.
Do a poodle real quick.
I could definitely do a poodle. And then kids would be like, can you make me a Tyrannosaurus Rex? I'd be like, absolutely. And then I'd make him a poodle.
And here's a pterodactyl.
He's like, what does it look? I'm like, it's wearing a dog costume, but it is a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
I would have just wore those kids out. Mm-hmm. You know they're not going to last more than 15 minutes. Like 35, 40 minute T-Rex.
Yeah. We used to make these little turtle bracelets for little girls and tulips. And you'd pull the bottom of it out so it looked like it was like sagging. And then you'd let the air go and then it'd be like a little rose.
Oh, that's
nice.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
So you have to go to Orlando to get t-shirt gun training for
yes.
real?
Yes, and then my friend trained the stilts. I didn't learn the stilts.
Does it kick harder than you think it's going to?
Yeah.
It does.
And then you had to learn the slingshot thing. The slingshot. And then we stopped using the gun because in Cincinnati
that back in middle school, trust me.
We stopped using the gun because somebody fell off the tier. People would do ridiculous things for
trying
a free t-shirt.
Trying to get a t-shirt?
An extra large free t-shirt.
Did they die?
I believe so.
For real?
Yeah. This was 15, 20 years ago.
For a t-shirt?
Yeah. That's a hard way to go. Yeah. Yeah.
The hardest.
So we just stopped using
the
gun. It's the first gun we stopped using in Georgia. But that was the first one. Yeah. For sure.
That was the end of the t-shirt run?
No, then we just used the slingshot.
Right.
So it doesn't go up as high. We used to have a hot dog one, too, but then
somehow that hot dogs out.
Yeah.
At Staples. I remember hot dog ones, yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Now they just do that at Staples. They just do that, like, the drop, where it's the parachute thing.
What if someone's just not even paying attention? Like, I'll tell you, I think they had a good first, and then I'll finish the hot dogs.
Vegetarian. Take one across the mouth.
Vegetarian. Getting the 6-incher right out their face.
Oh, goddamn. I'm Jewish, man. Is that a pork hot dog?
It is, man. It is. They're all pork franks.
We used to also have this like a spray gun thing that would help cool off the crowds. We'd walk Misters around and miss people, and everybody cover their beer. And we'd be like, "They're already watered down. Just keep. Don't worry about it."
You know, Dan Godfrey tells me that at events like that the alcohol is watered down at events where there's 70,000 people and stuff like that. And it's
I would assume
a known
I don't know
thing
that
in that
sure.
industry. And he swears by it to me all the time.
I wouldn't I know. Wondered. We just made it as a joke.
It does make sense.
Could be very true.
You don't need 70,000. Yeah. Fucking.
But anyway, that was a real fun time to work for the Brick. I worked there in 99 and 2000. In 99, we went to the World Series.
That's Sid Bream? That Sid Bream year?
Sid Bream, I think, was gone by then. That was like McGriff. John Rocker, my favorite of all time.
Man, John Rocker.
Classy guy. Great guy.
I don't like it. He's still my favorite relief pitcher of all time.
Really?
He was our wild thing. He was so good.
He was more than that.
He was
so good. You know, before he got in trouble, his fastball was like murdering people.
So was Eric Gagne's until, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then it gets, you know, the worst thing you can ever do is get in a pitcher's head. So as soon as that came
especially
out,
especially one as dumb as that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Smoltz. I mean, how can John Smoltz, mm-hmm. who is going to go to the Hall of Fame because he won 200 games and what, saved 150?
Oh, yeah.
That no one's ever done, and your favorite reliever is John Rocker. You tell me if John Smoltz came in here right now, you'd be like, got to tell you, man, Rocker, oh. I'd take over you.
I would absolutely say.
You're going to have to say it to his face now.
Johnny! Get your ass in here. Bring your 9-9. It's a hell of a golf for two people.
She wants to tell you right in your eyes,
John. I would absolutely tell him that.
Rocker's her favorite,
I didn't
John.
Say he's my favorite pitcher. I say he's my favorite reliever. Pitcher, yes.
So listen, as long as you're starting, Johnny,
stay on the bump, son.
That was really fun. I mean, because I got to go to the World Series. That was the first World Series I'd ever gone to.
That was Glavin, Maddox.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Avery, was he there earlier?
He was there earlier. It was Glavin, Maddox, and Smoltz. And we used to do this. That was also Rafael Furcal was really big there
that's
at the time.
Later. That's like 2000.
That was 99 when I was there.
Oh, he was there then?
Yeah, he was a rookie then. And he was so great. He's so tiny, but he was such a good shortstop.
He had a cannon, dude. Remember he played for the Dodgers for a while.
Yeah. Well, the Dodgers were the mini Braves. When I moved to LA in 2001, it was like I could watch all of them because Brian Jordan played for them. That's and then right. Andre Jones came and it was great because Andre played there as well. He was a rookie when I was there in 99. And
first of all, Andre Jones hit two jacks in the World Series as a rookie. Like,
yeah.
He was like 19. He's like the youngest ever.
Well, that's when you're supposed to do it. I mean, that's why, I mean, you saw the Rose Bowl and the championship game with Georgia. You know, we have a freshman, lights out because they don't understand
the lights went out. You know what I mean?
A little bit, but that's honestly in the championship game. That was literally one of the best moves I've ever seen Nick Saban do. That was such a ballsy move. And
insane.
How do you defend and like a guy that you've never seen play who's a true freshman? So it was literally those two guys were in high school last year. Like that is an insane idea.
Yeah.
And it was such a smart move. I completely give them credit. And honestly, I was just happy that we won the Rose Bowl. I just could not wait. I really wanted to beat them.
Yeah.
I cried a lot at the end of that game. That was the most stressful experience I think I've ever been through. Way more than the Super Bowl with the Falcons and the Patriots. Way more stressful.
Yeah.
Really?
Just because it was so back and forth, And I was on the field before the game, and fucking Mayfield. He was just like warming up in our end zone when our receivers were warming up. And I was like, this motherfucker. And he's catching the ball, not throwing it. He's catching it as a receiver in our end zone when our receivers were warming up in our end zone. And then he ended up catching a ball in that end zone, so it made sense. But I still wanted him to just break every bone.
I'm not a huge Baker Mayfield fan.
I cannot handle the headband stuff.
I can't handle it either.
I know he's better than Menzel. I think he will be better. I don't know, but you just never know who's going to be good.
No, but you can have an opinion.
Yeah.
I can't stand that kid, and I don't think he's going to be good. But they're saying he's moving up the draft board. Now they're comparing him to Drew Brees and Russell Wilson. They're comparing him to Russell Wilson.
Because he's 6 foot. I mean, that is what's so crazy is that 6 foot, we're like, I don't know, kind of small. Like 6 feet.
Doug Flutie was 5'8", so
I'm just
whatever.
Saying. That's an insane, so incredible. But no, I hope he does terrible.
Anyway. Remember when Ron Gant broke his leg?
No, I don't remember that.
Ron Gant, baby.
I loved Ron Gant.
Oh, God, that kid was legit. 30-30 up and down. But he, like, broke his, like, femur or something like that. I forget, like, what year it was. Maybe he wasn't still with you guys, but I thought he was.
Wow. I don't remember that, but I'm old now. I just forget so much stuff.
That was my whole team, you know. I was always a Red Sox fan, mm-hmm. but, like, that year, what was it? So like 91?
Yeah. 2-3, all in there.
I loved the way Bobby Cox played. It was small ball, it was hit and run, it was squeeze plays,
everyone
bunt a guy over.
It was baseball.
Oh, man. Otis Nixon.
That's my favorite.
Terry Pendleton win the MVP at the hot corner. He
Otis
didn't deserve
Nixon
it,
doing
but we
cocaine.
Gave it to him.
You said coke
Otis
addict
Nixon.
On the team.
Did anybody ever find him? Remember he disappeared? I don't even know what happened.
I just
cartel
found
probably.
Otis Nixon! Give me a big boy.
Oh, I'm so happy to see you.
Ugliest man in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Willie McGee.
I've been to some postseason games. I've never been to a Super Bowl or anything, but you've obviously been to a lot of games. But the one I want to hear about is the game you went to with Roy Wood.
Yeah. So Roy Wood Jr., who's on The Daily Show.
Love Roy Wood.
Was on Sullivan and Son. He's a Southern boy. He's from Alabama. But he's a big Cubs fan because everybody liked the Braves in Alabama, but he liked the Cubs because they were also nationally televised on WGN. So he wanted to be different. So he's always a Cubs fan. And he had never been to a Dodger game. And he's like, I'm going to go watch the Cubs play the Dodgers. Will you come with me? I want to have actual baseball fans around me. And I was like, hell yes. I cannot wait to see Roy Wood react at a baseball game. So it was like me and Steve Byrne and a couple other Felipe Esparza. It was like a very random group. And so because it was his first Dodger game, I said, I'll keep the book for you. I'll keep. So I bought a program. I normally don't keep score when I'm with friends because it's rude. I usually only keep it when I go to the games
by
myself.
Lot. I mean, you got to pay
attention. It's a lot. I pay attention. I keep score. I love going to baseball games by myself. It's one of my I rarely get to do it anymore, and it's so fun when I do. So I kept the book for him, and Jake Arrieta threw a no-hitter.
It's unbelievable.
And first of all, it's the first no-hitter I've ever seen in my entire life, and I kept the book for it, and I had to give it away.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
a friend who I was like, it's not your birthday. You know?
Yeah.
It was very difficult to give that away.
Did he go get a first game at Dodger Stadium certificate?
Oh, I don't know.
They
Do you
give
get
those?
Those
to you there, yeah.
Oh, like first you get the boy. button that says like.
Oh, they give you like Magic Johnson signed it.
No.
It was a yeah. It's like a you know a certificate, and you go to like fan support or whatever they call them, you know, and you go up and you're like, I go, hey, this is my boys. I went, and I took my son, and we were leaving in like the fifth inning. I just want to get him through five innings, and we're leaving. This guy's like standing at the end of our row, like up the thing. He's like, hey, you leaving, man? And I'm like, yeah, I'm taking my boy. He goes, do you mind if I grab your seats? I'm like, nah, man, you can grab them. And I was like, getting on my tickets. He goes, did you get him a certificate? And I was like, no, what do you mean? He goes, whenever it's your first game at Dodger Stadium, you go over there and they'll give you a certificate. I'm like, you just earned your seats, dude.
Wow.
And is that just great. For kids, though?
Why should it be? Roy Wood Jr. is a kid at heart,
yeah,
baby.
Sure
it?
Is a kid
yeah,
at heart.
I wish I would have gotten a certificate my first time. That's awesome.
Super cool.
Dodger Stadium is a really fun. I really like that stadium. I've been to 13 now.
Have
this
you?
Last year, I went to a game in Pittsburgh.
I've wanted to go there since they opened that ballpark.
It is so beautiful.
Yeah, I know. It's not going to be fun going there for about 6 to 8 years, though.
Same with the new Braves stadium, but I haven't been to that new one yet. But I was at Fulton County, and then when I worked for the Braves, was at Turner Field, and it was pretty new then because it was right after the Olympics, 99, 2000. We had they inducted the All Millennium team during the All Star game, so I got to go to the All Star game because I was working.
In what year?
2000.
Okay.
All Millennium and so I got to meet Ted Williams and Hank Aaron and like all these like incredible.
Ted still have his head. Because they had 99 in Fenway, remember?
What do you mean?
The 1999 All-Star game was in Fenway, and they brought Ted Williams out on a golf cart, and they came to the mound, and everyone came around him, and that dude couldn't not talk about baseball. He grabbed Mark McGwire's arm, and he goes, let me ask you something. When you foul one back, do you smell the wood burn? And like they're all like, hey, good to meet you, man. This guy's intense.
Yeah. I can only imagine. Yeah, I mean, he was definitely in a cart. I remember that, but I mean, thank God he was. That was super cool to see. I was also.
You know, he's in two Hall of Fames, right?
No.
Teddy Ballgame's in two Hall of Fames.
What is he?
Baseball and fishing.
Really?
Isn't it fly fishing? If I've not been paying attention,
I believe it's fly fishing. You know who else he flew in fucking the war with? John Glenn. They were in the plane together, and they said.
Anybody I've heard of, or
you never heard of John Glenn?
Elvis. He was also in there with Elvis. I don't know if you've ever heard of
that. Yeah, Buddy Holly.
Guy.
They flew together.
John Glenn said Ted Williams was the greatest fighter pilot he ever flew with.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you imagine being that good at
everything?
So many things.
Yeah,
everything.
You should get one.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't. I gotta find one thing to be great at. One day. Because I know it ain't remembering stories.
I think you might want to go. I think you need to go back to your days at the Six Flags. I think
that's probably my peak. That's probably my
Tasmanian
peak.
Tasmanian Devil might be your spot.
It was probably my peak performance, and nobody knew it was me, which is great. yeah. So I also got to go to Ranger Stadium in Texas. That was really
How's
cool.
That's
so
Arlington?
Beautiful. Yeah, in Arlington.
Yeah, it's. I love that it's like all tiered like that. It's like old school. Mm-hmm. Right there.
And it was so hot. And I ended up meeting like two guys next to me because they were there for, it was like their Father's Day gift from their wives. And then, so they were like, oh, we were burning up. We were just so hot. And they were like, oh, there's this little bar inside that's air conditioned. Let's go in there. And they had frozen Jack and Cokes. And I was like, this might be my
what?
Favorite.
Wow.
This might be my favorite baseball yeah. stadium ever. Yeah. I still have
Cokes.
The cup from it. It's a sippy cup. It's my favorite cup.
A sippy cup.
Yeah.
They're doing it right Ooh. Down in Texas.
Yeah. Oh, well, they put man. It in. Yeah.
Was it so packed in there? Or did it
was,
like?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was packed because it was so hot. But the stadium was packed also. I don't even remember who they played. I did keep the book, but I don't know. So I also went to the Cub Stadium for the first time. The Braves were playing there on Memorial Day weekend.
Was that a day game?
No, it was a night game.
How was that? I mean, I haven't gotten a Wrigley, and it's just like, that's definitely, I don't have a lot of bucket list stadiums because it's just, I don't know why it's never meant that much to me, but Wrigley is definitely one of them.
Yeah, for me too. I was pretty in awe. I felt like I was, this is going to sound very bougie, but I felt like I was sitting a little too close. Like, I kind of wish I was, I got this ticket.
You go to some of the bleachers. You mind switching seats with me? I'm up front there.
I'm in the batting circle.
If
you wouldn't mind.
But I wish
I'm getting hit with pine tar. It's too much.
I mean, you could take my donuts.
Sitting up just a little bit higher so I could have just seen it from that view,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Because even I don't really like sitting that close at baseball games because I can't see everything. I usually sit by the bullpen. That's where I love to sit so I can see who's warming up. That's why I got hit with that baseball in San Francisco because I was at the game watching the Braves play.
Rob Den was warming up. I had to see what was going on.
Well, you know, the state, it used to be Pac Bell. I don't even know what it's called now, but they forgot to build the bullpen. When they designed the stadium.
No
so when
way.
The stadium was that they were done, they're like, where are we supposed to do the warming up stuff? So that's why they do it on the baseline. It's like right in front of the
that's
dugout.
The most dangerous shit for any major league stadium to not.
Holy shit,
and at this point, like, take the fucking off season and build some fucking bullpens. You have enough money in that goddamn city.
So that's why I was sitting on first base side so I could
see
who was warming up. And then,
are they still the only one? Because there used to be a handful of stadiums you warmed up inside on the line.
I don't know. I haven't seen one since then.
Are they done now or they still do that?
I have no idea. I haven't been back to see.
Like the dumbass hill they had in the fucking center field of Houston.
Yeah.
They finally got rid of it. Like, why?
Yeah,
why
yeah.
are you doing that? You got million-dollar athletes out there that you're going to get tearing ACLs and shit running up a fucking hill to chase down a fly ball.
Well, the one thing, I mean, I didn't love that hill, but the one thing I did appreciate is baseball's the only sport that you can change the dimensions of the playing field. You know what I mean? Basketball, it's always the same rectangle. Mm-hmm. Hockey, football, but baseball, you can make it. It could be 368. It could be 401.
Right.
It can be whatever one. You
it
can make the
weird.
You know, they did an Angel Stadium this year. They took the fence down because they got that new kid from Japan. You know this kid?
Oh yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Oh,
the pitcher.
He pitches and hits, dude.
Does he?
He's playing both. When he doesn't pitch, he's going to be playing like DH or something. This is the first time we've ever seen that since the DH probably came in. And just to satisfy him, they're like, "Listen, man, we're gonna drop the fence out here for you, son." And
why? Because he had that
he
in Japan.
Hits bombs.
Oh,
so they're gonna make it even smaller. You know, it's like that's why there was always a short porch in right in Yankee Stadium for Babe Ruth. You know.
Oh, that's so funny. I thought you were like, I'm like, why do they have to drop the fence? He's not even facing it when he's pitching.
He has home runs like this, like right here, just creep over the wall.
Just like
they've been averaging it out, like drop it 12 feet. Yeah, you're going to hit about 35.
I don't want the Japanese to hit bombs if you know what I'm saying. Anywhere near America.
They said the only thing that they made a mistake, they dropped the wall and they lost the bullpen. So now there's no bullpens.
Oh. Well, what are they going to do?
Because they took the wall down.
Way warm up in the park a lot.
Did they put the rest of it on the Mexico border? Is that where they
sure
put the
did.
Rest of
it?
Yeah,
they put it back
pit.
In Berlin. It's divided again.
You know, the Angels are going to be so good, too, because they have my favorite shortstop, Andrelton Simmons. Simba.
Oh, yeah, that kid.
He is one of the best defensive shortstops I've ever seen play. If his batting got better, he'd be a Hall of Famer. But
why do you guys get rid of all your shortstops?
Yeah, I
don't
know.
Don't you have a new young kid that's coming up or something like that?
Probably. I'm not even following it right now because I'm still just like in a football hangover, and I'm trying to watch basketball, but I just can't stand the NBA until the end.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just so much. I went to the All-Star game, and I was like, so boring.
Are you rooting for the Celtics right now?
Yeah, I root for the Celtics because of my boyfriend.
Yeah, I can't not watch the Celtics. I mean, I watch more Celtics basketball in the last 3 years than I ever have. I love the team. I love the coach. I love what we got coming up. They're fucking dope.
Do you miss Isaiah Thomas?
You know what? I loved him, and I was really happy that we had him, and he was so great for us. But I do not miss him.
No.
No.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I love Kyrie. He's a closer. Ugh. We needed a closer, and he's a fucking closer.
Kyrie is lights out.
And I think IT, I feel bad way everything happened for him. Holy
it's
shit.
It's just too much. And there's
what
just
a roller coaster.
That whole trade deadline was bonkers.
Yeah.
We were coming back. I think it was near Valentine's Day, right? That was when the
Valentine's.
Yeah. Valentine's. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So we were coming back. My boyfriend is like a whole Boston. If people don't know, he's like a Boston. He's an asshole. But he's from Maine.
From?
He's from Maine.
Oh, that's right.
But luckily, the Patriots are his bottom.
He's your Maine asshole?
Yeah.
There you go.
Unfortunately. But the Patriots are at the bottom. So it goes like Red Sox, Celtics, Syracuse basketball, and then the Patriots.
Bruins are Bruins fall in there.
What?
Where are the Bruins?
He doesn't.
What about the Revolution?
Never heard of it.
How about the Tea Party?
Doesn't like it. He'd be like, I'm not a big Tea Party guy. That's how he says shit.
Whenever I talk shit to people about like sports, and like if someone starts prodding me about Boston, they start getting on me, I'm like, hey, dude, all I'm saying is since 2001, we've won 5 Super Bowls, 3 World Series, a Stanley Cup, and an NBA championship, and an MLS title. That's all I'm saying.
That's
and
it.
People are like, MLS title? I'm like, yeah, dude, Major League Soccer, bro, the Revolution.
Lexi is Lons. That the name of the...
Yeah, the Revolution.
I thought you were talking about the actual Revolution.
People get so pissed. They're like, you're throwing the Revolution in? You want to fucking talk shit, dude?
Yeah. Yeah, oh my God. It's very difficult to love somebody who's a big Boston guy.
Yeah.
Especially a Patriots fan, because like, I go into the relationship knowing he's a cheater. So it's difficult. But yeah. I have to say...
I was watching the Super Bowl last year.
Well, we didn't watch it together because I was there. And he left. So we got to be in Houston the whole time because he's on the Rich Eisen show. So they were there the whole week. And then I got to do Garbage Time with Katie Nolan that whole week, just last second. So we both got to be in Houston together. And then he had to fly home because they had a show Monday morning. And Rich flies back on a plane and there was not a seat for him. So he didn't go. And obviously, I had an incredible first half, and then I've cried more than I ever did at the end of that game. And he met me at the airport with flowers and a gift certificate for the spa.
What a fucking
and he never,
bitch.
Was he in a Tom Brady jersey,
never,
though?
That's all he had on.
And a helmet.
A nightshirt.
Fully dressed in an entire Patriots outfit with shoulder pads and
just
everything.
Saying. It's so ridiculous. I fucking can't. Good for them. Suck. I mean... It's always fun to watch them play.
Yeah,
I think I would vote for Belichick for president. I really would.
Yeah.
Because he'd just be like, look, we just had to kill everybody. So that's just what we needed to do. I mean, so on to that. Now we're on to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
No, now we're on to Russia.
We're on to year two now.
Now we're in the North
Korea. So it's January, though. Like we're thinking ahead of year three.
Yeah, we're just going to...
If it's not about year three, then we don't want to talk.
Did you see that, like Hamptons magazine that Belichick did with his girlfriend?
It was the Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah. Oh, my God. My boyfriend wanted to do that as our Halloween costume, and I said, not on
your
life.
That's a deep cut,
never,
son.
Yeah, I'd have to lose a bet. I'd have to lose a bet to do that.
He's like, all right, you want to bet on...
yeah.
I saw a meme it was like Valentine's Day, and it said Valentine's Day with a question. It said, we're on to St. Patty's Day. It was him.
So
we're on the St. Patty's Day. We're focused on St. Patty's Day. We're on the St. Patty's Day, guys.
Love it so much. I was actually kind of happy that the Falcons lost. I was proud of us for beating the Rams because I did not expect that. So when they lost in the second round, and especially to seeing how good Minnesota was, I didn't expect I didn't expect Philly to be that good. So I was really happy that they went all the way because I'd rather lose to the team that wins the Super Bowl than anything. But I was kind of relieved to just be done with the postseason.
Well, you guys had such a crazy season.
Seasons
between
that Super Bowl to now is like what?
Yeah,
you've had
that
the Rose
and Georgia,
Bowl. Yeah, you've had the Super Bowl.
Exhausting.
I mean,
and then Valentine's. It was Valentine's, a lot.
Valentine's.
My birthday. I turned 40.
I know.
It was a whole thing.
I saw it. Happy birthday to you, girl.
I know you did.
You know, we didn't really talk about it, but I wanted to ask you, when you were recording that perfect game, like, you're more connected to it than anyone when you're keeping a box score. When were you like starting to get like freaked out that you're like in the middle of something? Like, were other people what?
I'm just laughing. Like, are you getting superstitious to move down to the end of the row to stay away from
Roy? I'm sorry,
like,
man.
The pitchers.
But like, we're,
don't talk. To
were
me,
you
though.
Talking about it before? Other people were talking about it, or like, what was going on?
Yeah, I had a jacket just on
my
right arm.
On your arm,
just on my right arm, and I was keeping the bet, and everybody left it. no, I think it was.
Are you like, oh my God, guys, we're in the seventh inning and there's no fucking hitter? Or what?
People haven't been talking about it.
No, we're all talking about it, but then everybody's trying not to. You can tell, like, at probably sixth? Like six, and then you're like, I'm like, wow, this is, I'm just looking
were
at all
the people checking in with you, be like, what did this guy do last at bat? Were they like asking and shit?
Oh, yeah,
like
I love when people do that.
That's the best. What did he do last? And you like flip over the thing, you're like,
backwards.
Do you know that I did not know that that meant caught looking until probably like 2005.
You've been keeping score like since you were five, I think.
Every now and then she just goes, I'll go backwards on this one.
I didn't know why they did. I thought it was because they didn't want it to say KKK, like as a Southern girl. I was like, oh, they don't want to. They got to turn one around because they can't say, they can't advertise.
Clemens thrown again?
Rocker, always, always with the straight case.
His were straight.
Sounds about right for Rocker. You had to swing. You had to swing. Yeah, so it was probably about the sixth, and then we're all, I'm just like looking at it, you know, and I'm just like, I like counting the strikes. So I just start counting them, and I'm like, wow.
Strikeouts or how, what his strike percentage was to pitches?
Just number of strikes. I'm always fascinated by
it
how many strikeouts people get.
It just hurts me even more because Jake Arrieta was the one thing the Orioles have needed forever, starting pitching. We had that guy. He didn't do shit in Baltimore, and then he goes to Chicago and just, my God.
Did he start with you guys?
Yeah.
Oh, he did.
I feel like in baseball, more than any sport, players that if it's the team that you started on, if it's not going to click, it's so many guys need to change the scenery in baseball because like you're in that system for so long and then you get there and if it might, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whereas like in basketball, you can go and stay with it. But I mean, a lot of times guys just need to change the scenery. You know, they like, it's just, you know. It's like, I can't be here forever. It's like, that's why guys that last so long, like Dirk Nowitzki, that dude's still balling out in Dallas, you know?
He's still playing right now?
Oh, yeah.
Is he really?
Averaging 13.9 a game, son.
How many years is that?
20. This thing is his 19th year in the league. He's 39 years old.
That's incredible.
I didn't know
it's
he
like
was still
Ginobili
playing.
Or whatever. I always have to use those metaphors when I'm talking to my boyfriend about like having a baby or just like being in a relationship. I'm like, listen. I'm not trying to like put any pressure on you. I'm not saying that like I want to. It's just that like you just have to think of me like Ginobili. It's not that I don't want to stop playing, but there's only so long my body's going to allow me to continue.
You don't think Popovich is getting on him about it?
I'm not trying to rush you or anything, but I'm just like, if you don't want to franchise me, like maybe we need to move on.
Franchise. You give me the franchise tag.
Just say it. Like, I don't know what else. Like, it's very difficult.
I don't need a long-term deal, but just let me know if I'm getting the tag.
Yeah, I don't want to just do a year-to-year thing and then get traded. Yeah.
No.
I don't know. So, yeah, it was a pretty – that no-hitter
was
pretty
Did you
intense.
Cry?
What, with the no-hitter?
Yeah.
No. But we got on TV, so we were all really excited. Yeah. People were texting us because it was me and Byrne and Roy. So, like, everybody's – all of our friends are watching it, too, because we have friends who like baseball because we're not assholes.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
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 I love just a relaxing baseball game. I kind of don't want all of the – I kind of want some of the new rules, or I don't mind them, but at the same time, I'm like, maybe people just don't like baseball. Why do you want to change it?
Yeah.
The parks are so nice now, too, that I find myself wanting to walk around and check them out. And
First of all, you got to walk around, man. He's got his compression pants on. He's got to walk around.
What?
Every hour and a half, I got to keep gloves on. What?
Excuse me, guys. I'm sorry. I'm in the middle of the row here. I got to get
it.
In the middle of the row, people, always.
I'm not that asshole. I get my seats on the end. But you know who pays for it? The guy that needs to get up more? Me? Everybody else is getting up. I'm like, where the fuck are you all going?
Why?
Sit the fuck down or get seats on the end of the fucking row.
I didn't drink at all during the Rose Bowl because I did not want to have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
I was pretty good about that. But yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, you're right. I like walking around the stadium, especially a new one that I haven't been to just kind of soak it all in. But now the other problem is a lot of stadiums don't sell programs anymore.
Oh, really?
Which is, yeah. Like, sometimes you have to go off-site to, because I want to get the program from the stadium. I don't want to just bring my own book.
Yeah.
You know, that's no fun.
No, yeah.
I need the souvenir from the stadium.
Yeah.
That's part of it.
Oh, she's going off-site now.
She's going off-site. I had to do that for the Red Sox. It was my first time at Fenway this year.
And they didn't have them?
No, I had to get them at the whatever, 44 store or whatever.
Yeah, down there in Lansdowne?
Yeah.
Or Yawkey Way, rather.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, something like that. I don't know. It was my first time there. It was really nice.
Yeah. I mean, there's something about that ballpark when you're underground and then you come up and you can start hearing it gets louder and you come out and you see the field and you're like, oh, man, the little tiny rickety seats and shit.
That's what I love, that old feeling, that like rustic, like this is baseball. This has been here a long time.
Cool. Yeah. Really cool park.
Yeah, I was really glad I got to. I was there for Poppy's retirement game. Oh, it was really, really fun. Yeah.
That's killer.
Because we roasted Poppy.
Oh, that's right.
That was the same week. What was that like? Well, I got called a whore for like 2 hours, basically. But that was all the jokes that people would do about
it. I heard Nesson wouldn't air it.
No, Nesson wouldn't air it.
For we're supposed to be on Nesson, and they said, no, we're not going to air it.
Because of that?
No, because they didn't realize how gross and hardcore a roast is. They would have to bleep the whole fucking thing. And
so
it's like
you only called it live and that's it?
Yeah, no.
If you didn't catch it live, you didn't catch it.
And everybody was groaning anyway because there's like half the Red Sox are there. First of all, Ben Attendee, my favorite because he's such an Alabama boy.
Oh, really?
He comes in, he's wearing like, basically, I think they were Bugle Boy jeans. I can't be positive, but they were like a little bit, you know, like a little wide leg.
Yeah.
And a white t-shirt, which he had tucked in. And then he had on a baseball cap with the hook on it.
What do you mean?
The hook, you know, the fish hook on the top.
Oh my
it was
God.
Adorable. And then he came in with Manny. No, not Manny. The other
Mookie Betts.
The other Ramirez.
Hanley.
Hanley.
Yeah.
With the dreads.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like those
Ramirez.
Two coming in together. It was just like this beautiful moment.
Yeah.
I was like, this baseball brings everybody together.
Yeah, it does.
He's such a good player. He's
Who?
So fun. Ben Attendee.
Oh, man.
He's one of my favorite baseball players
young
to watch.
And studs.
Yes. Yeah. Y'all got a good team. Y'all going to be good for a long time. But that experience, so it was Poppy and then Dustin Pedroia and Gronk, Lenny Clark, me, Josh Wolf, and Anthony Mackie. And I was like, Anthony Mackie's here because we needed somebody to be racist to, and Adam Jones had a game tonight.
Wow.
But the first joke I said, because literally, like, Gronk, everybody just called me a whore because they didn't know what else to say. What other jokes are you going to say about me?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you guys are giving me a lot of credit. My list of sexual partners is a lot like Dustin Pedroia. It is embarrassingly short. It was so fun.
That is good.
Yeah, yeah. Then I called Gronk the second most well-hung tight end of Patriots history.
Yeah, who? Ben Coates?
Behind the guy that hung himself.
Oh,
Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, that's a great joke, Sarah.
Yeah.
How did that go down?
Oh, everybody groaned, and I was like, he's a murderer. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, seriously.
And
oh, my God, that must have been amazing. How many people are in there? Where, was it House of Blues?
Is it the House of Blues? So, I don't know, 1,500, 1,000,
oh,
I'm not sure.
God, Sarah, that's a great joke. Sarah Tiana, man, writes a solid fucking joke. That's
so
for sure.
Many fun jokes. By the way, I wrote a joke for the NFL Honors, and it made it almost all the way, and then it got cut at the end. But it was the Patriots always get to the Super Bowl, you know, because they just have so many weapons held up against the heads of referees. Look at Larson not laughing.
I don't know if that's a good joke.
That's just a fact. That's why he's not laughing, because it's a fact. It's not a joke. Then I think I wrote one about Tony Romo. It's like so nice to see him in the booth, and I'm just so excited he got to go to a second round of playoffs for the first time.
That's the deepest he's ever got.
That's
you're right.
Fantastic.
He's great,
so
though, isn't he?
Oh, he's
too
so
good.
Fun. He's so fun.
You see Brent Musburger snap on him?
Oh no.
He snapped.
What do you mean?
I'm pretty sure it was Musburger that did a video where he got pissed off that Tony Romo was so good and so accurate and just being like, he's going to switch. He just saw the ball out right now.
Yeah.
This is going to be a run to the right in the end zone. Watch, he'll be wide open. And then, boom, he does it. You're like, Jesus Christ.
Nostradamus.
And Musburger's saying, like, he called him out and said, stop doing that. That's not what people want to hear. It's not what they want to know. They want color commentary from you. They don't want to know what the fuck's happening.
We call it colored commentary where I'm from.
And I
look at Larson is so uncomfortable.
That's all the time we have.
He's from Boston, so.
But they also said that.
Do you like it? Do you like that he's able to?
I like it a lot. I love it.
I never
I
liked
love
him.
It.
I always hated him because he was
it.
A Cowboys.
Well, yeah. He was a dork.
Well, it's just also like,
But they said he was so accurate that they wouldn't be surprised if some teams petition the NFL to say, yo, have him dial it back up there a little bit. Because when you go back and watch game film, all you got to do
is...
Sarah
Tiana jumped out of her fucking seat.
They're yelling it from the sideline.
Hey, Rod! Rod, tell Tony to shut the fuck up. Come on, man. Everything, man. God damn, we just put down a play book yesterday.
I mean...
They're going to petition the NFL to tell Tony Romo to dial it back.
And then Darrow dial it back. Yeah, well, he's never dialed it up when he was playing, so he's definitely...
Oh, that's funny.
Poor guy. I never, like I said, I never liked him, but and then he got in the booth, and I was like, God dang, I can't not... It's like your dad calling a game. Yeah. He's so excited. He's like, oh, no, oh, yeah, God! Yeah. You know, it's so much fun.
He genuinely loves football. Well, there's
also,
no doubt.
It's just such a bummer to me because... I look at the Cowboys and you go, this team should be in the playoffs, close to the Super Bowl every year. But Jerry Jones gets in there. If Eli Manning had played quarterback for the Cowboys, they would have 3 Super Bowl rings, I think. Because Eli Manning's a goldfish. Like, you can't get in his head because it just doesn't. That's why he can throw 6 interceptions in a game and 7 touchdowns. Yeah, because right, he just goes right back out there. He's just straight up football. And also incredibly funny. So funny.
Eli?
Eli.
Funnier than Peyton?
I think he's... it's a different funny.
Peyton's timing is impeccable.
Peyton is...
He gets it.
Do you love that?
Trying to be funny. And
but
I
that,
think Eli...
That ESPN commercial where they're walking down the hallway. You know what I'm talking
about?
Oh,
with the brother.
And they're kicking each other in the butt and shit. That's hilarious.
Did you see the commercial, though, with Eli and Odell where they're doing the dirty dancing thing for the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
I don't know if I saw it.
Eli Manning took... dance classes for 2 weeks.
Wow.
Just to
do that?
Salsa classes.
Man, just to get paid $2 million, who would do that?
That's not how much they got
how
paid.
How much do you think he got paid for that?
I don't know, but it was just a commercial for the NFL, so.
He got paid.
Maybe they just said, we're not going to fine you for selling all your autographs.
We're going to send you down to Jacksonville with Tom Coughlin. Got yourself a nice D down there.
How good is that
guy? You could retire. You can get one. You get 3 seasons down there and probably get 1 Super Bowl out of that team, I think.
With Jacksonville?
Yep.
Yeah.
You put Eli down there and you draft a couple more and
just resign Bortles.
You get 3.
I know.
That's smart to resign him. But
Tom Coughlin, you know where he started, right?
Where?
Boston College, baby.
Matt Ryan. That's Boston College.
I know. They were ranked number 1 in the country, or number 2 when they had Matt Ryan.
Of course. We're always number 2 with Matt Ryan.
Matty Ice.
Matty Ice.
No, but he's a Belichick Parcells dude. I'm pretty sure Coughlin. I think he coached on the Giants with them, didn't he?
Well, Coughlin definitely coached on the Giants.
Yeah,
Tom Coughlin. No, I mean
before he was head coach.
I feel like he was some. I mean, I know he coached
Buffalo. You mean when they were all no?
No.
Okay, I don't know. Could somebody look that up?
Look that up.
Where's your intern?
Hang on a second. Hang on a second. Tommy Coughlin! Get your ass out of here. Good to have you back.
TC, what's up?
In Florida, man.
Football is so
all right,
fun.
We always... I want to talk to you about some other things, too, because we always talk sports with you, which I'm not complaining. We love it. But we asked you and talked to you before, and you said that you had a near-death experience, and I wanted to hear about... We wanted to hear about your
name. You mean the whole last hour?
Yeah.
She's like, I had field seats.
Which I hated. I was like, oh, this is too close.
I was doing an interview with Mark McGuire.
I was leaning over the top railing to catch his t-shirt.
Wasn't my side.
I threw it back, and
clearly
that's when I slipped.
Clearly this girl hadn't
slipped.
Been to the Orlando training seminar, because the way she shot it was deadly.
I hate you all. I really... My mom's going to stop listening to this now.
Why?
Because y'all are being so mean.
Why?
You're not. I'm just joking. I'm fucking with you.
I know you.
So, yeah, I did have a near-death experience. I was doing a military tour in the South Pacific. We were flying from Singapore to Diego Garcia to do a military show.
You are not going to believe this right now.
Diego Garcia!
What's up, man?
Get the little light dancing.
Great
salsa
pitcher.
Dance. Rookie, bring in that food cart, man.
Rookie pitcher. He also sells hot dogs after the game, and they smell so good. What do they put on those carts?
Oh, man.
So
those carts do smell
they smell
so
good.
We're outside like Staples.
Anywhere. Anyway. You could put it on a sidewalk outside here right now to smell delicious for us.
Yeah, God. Think about it. I live by the Hollywood Bowl. They're always... okay, so... So we had to take a cargo plane, like a military C-130 type plane, but they had seats. So normally in a C-130 or a C-17, the seats are on the side.
Yeah. So can I ask you, I'm sorry to interrupt, are those the monster ones that can put Humvees and all that stuff in, like cities?
This one wasn't the C-7. The C-17 is
that's
the
biggest one.
Yeah.
Okay. I've been in the ones you're talking about, but you're saying they had rows, like actual rows?
Yeah, so there were like four rows and there are 10 seats across. So like 10, okay. So basically like a game where you're like, please don't get up in the middle.
Right.
So we were all in those. So we get up to 30,000 feet, and they go, okay, you can bring out your laptops, like they used to say. So we get out. You know, we're all just readjusting.
And like, what's around you? Set the scene. Like, is it a huge ceiling
up? It's a huge ceiling. There's probably 15 feet above us. And
cargo
then behind
net
us. Behind us, you know.
No, no. I'm thinking cargo.
Yeah,
cargo
nets. Behind us, the one.
I'm thinking there's Jeeps hanging upside down. No. And you're like, that's how big this thing is.
Behind us, it looks kind of like Dumbo Drop, right? Like where these giant wooden
boxes
cases.
And shit, yeah.
Yeah, so it looks like there could probably be a car inside of those cases or whatever. So all of that is behind us. And that's probably another 100 feet.
And there's 40 passengers, you're
about
saying.
About 40 passengers.
And how far from where you're sitting to the cockpit?
Probably 10, 12 feet. So as if I was sitting in coach
so
in a normal plane.
Basically the first,
yeah, right.
The first quarter of the plane is for you guys, and then the rest is all whatever
the rest is all what they're delivering.
Okay.
Yes, or picking up. Sometimes right. It's open because they're picking something up. So we get to 30,000 feet, and we're all just, you know, getting comfortable, and my ears start popping really, really bad. I'm like, like you can't clear them. Yeah. And I'm like, ugh, we can't. Then you start not being able to swallow, right? And then I was really dizzy, and I just start like almost passing out, right? And then we hear, right? This crazy loud horn goes off, and the air masks pop out.
Oh, that
of
was
the
a
seat.
Horn?
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was like, it was like we're at a club.
This girl
like,
starts shooting t shirt guns.
Uh-huh.
We're like, what?
Yeah, we're like, that's not my size. So the air masks pop out from the seat in front of us, because obviously the ceiling's too high, so they don't come from above, they come from in front. And I'm so dizzy, I'm like about to pass out. You can't even remember how to put the air mask on. I'm like trying to grab it, you have to pull it to, and I'm afraid if I pull it I'm gonna break
it. You didn't watch the instruction video, did you?
You watched
it. Some Braves bullshit.
But when
on
you're
your
about
phone.
To pass out,
yeah,
you cannot.
I can only imagine.
Function.
You can't, sure. Yeah.
Your brain is.
You're getting the circles getting smaller
oxygen,
and smaller.
Right?
Yeah.
Basically, what happened was we lost oxygen. We lost all oxygen. Like all the air pressure in the plane went out. So, you know, this is how planes, like pilots, will pass out, and then the planes just fly into
Tom,
a
Kennedy,
mountain.
Kennedy died like that, right?
No, Kennedy was assassinated.
Oh, the son. No, he wasn't able
talking
to read
about John Jr.?
He wasn't able to read the monitors. He flew into the ocean. No.
But
what did they get?
Payne
Stewart.
Die for,
Payne Stewart. Yeah, similar. So the airman next to me, he's in the jumpsuit. He helps me get my air mask on. And then this guy runs from the back of the plane, and he's like, take it down, take it down, take it down.
What
we're
the
all like,
fuck?
The plane? Like, you can't. And then you're just starting to get oxygen, but you still can't move. Your body's like limp because we don't have any oxygen, and we're at 30,000 feet, right?
Yeah.
And then they open up the cockpit, and they have on those giant masks, like the Top Gun
ones,
right?
Yeah, they're like, what's the problem back there?
No, they open it up, they're standing up, and they're flipping through a book.
Oh, they tell me
I'm
about
like,
their...
what
like,
the fuck?
I would be
is,
scared
what are you
to death
looking
if I saw that.
Up right now?
Right.
You don't know how to fly this plane. And then the plane just starts diving down. Like, we're all... So now we're all
what?
Almost passing
how
out.
How much diving? Give me a degree. Like this?
Oh, complete,
so
like 45
this?
Degree angle diving down.
Jesus.
Good
and can,
Lord.
If you wanted to scream, could you?
No.
You're passing out.
We're all holding hands. We all start holding hands. The airmen next to me are freaking out. And it's like if you're in an airplane and the stewardesses start getting scared,
yep,
you're like,
been there.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Airmen.
You see them white knuckle.
The airmen are terrified. We're all starting to cry. We have no idea. We don't know what's going on at this point. Like, now I can tell you what happened. But at that point, all I know is I'm about to pass out and the plane is diving down.
You wouldn't even know you died.
No.
You'd be passed out.
Which is also the way I want to go. I definitely
right?
want to die in a plane.
You don't know you're going to you died when you die.
That's why I think dying in
sure
a plane crash
do.
Is the best idea. Because probably.
I'm saying you're passing. I hadn't thought of it. You're passing out before you even hit bottom.
So you wouldn't even know.
You wouldn't be screaming all the way into the fucking ground.
Right.
Or you could be if you were only up 10,000 feet maybe when it came down.
Maybe, but most likely just going that degree down that fast, you're going to pass out because you're.
And are you hearing like
all the horns are going off? Everybody's freaking out. They're all flipping through the book. Meanwhile, the plane is diving, and I'm like, "How is the plane diving if they're looking in a book?"
Yeah.
And so we're just thinking the plane is just going down, like the plane just lost engines and we're all just falling out of the sky. And the only thing people are like, "What? Did your life flash before you?" And all I thought was, "Nobody knows where I am." Nobody knows where I am. Because when you do a military tour, all of your conversations with your family are in past tense. I can't tell you where I'm going. I can only tell you where I've been. Hmm. So my family...
Really? You're not allowed to tell your family when you do those?
I can tell them that I'm going, but they don't. That I'm going on a military tour,
you
but
can't
I can't
say
tell
where
them.
Or anything?
I can just
I
say
always
I'm,
did.
No, yeah. Oh, I say I didn't know you couldn't. South Pacific, but I don't tell them every day where. I tell them where I was. Like, oh, I was just in the Marshall Islands, and this is what happened.
You don't
happened.
Say I'm here today? And
No. I don't. Apparently Jay does, and that's why
I was in Iraq the whole time.
Right. Well, that's why
Kuwait,
Benghazi
every
happened.
Hour,
probably
like,
that's
I'm still
why
here, guys.
Benghazi happened because Jay Larson sending the wrong emails. But
yeah, probably
tapped in
the FaceTime. FaceTime from Hotmail.
Email fucking Hotmail. Jay Larson at Hotmail.
Hotmail brought down.
Took it down, man.
Took down the fucking.
Can you imagine the
I also helped get Bin Laden.
So many people did. So many people take credit for that. So you might as well hop on board. Yeah. All I could think was my fan. Nobody knows where I am.
Right.
I'm 30,000 feet above the Indian Ocean.
I mean, nobody knows. Not even find you guys.
Nope. The government can tell my family anything. That's right. What I thought. It was after Pat Tillman happened.
Right.
So in my mind, I'm just like, I have no idea what is going to happen to me. And I have no idea what they're going to tell my family. And then we leveled off, and they turned the plane around, and we went right back to Singapore. I mean, we'd only been in the air 10 minutes, so it was a 10-minute flight back, and then you get on the ground, and you're figuring out, like, we're all just still figuring out. We can't even figure out what's been going on. And
was there a lunch service? I can't even remember.
Yeah, I did not get a Coke Zero or peanuts.
Yeah,
Any nobody okay. But then also you can't walk when you get onto the ground because all of your – your ears are so messed up.
All of
your equilibrium is thrown off. And you just cannot. It's so hard to get off the plane. You have to take those stairs down. It's not like they have a jetway.
They should let you slide, you know.
Yeah,
just
I
go
know.
At least put the air mat.
I mean, I said I would do the emergency. I said yes when you said, will you assist?
Right, yeah.
So let me do it. Let me do my job. But yeah. And then they're like, okay, we got another plane. We can take you back. And I said, no, you can keep that shit to yourself.
Yeah.
And we stayed in Singapore for 3 more days and then went home.
I still would be scared. Yeah.
That was great. Singapore was awesome.
Singapore was fantastic.
It's such a cool
town. How much longer were you supposed to do on the tour?
That was it. Like the Diego Garcia. And then we had another show in Singapore and then we were going to be done.
Gotcha.
So we just stayed in Singapore, did one more show and then went home.
Gotcha.
Pretty much. Yeah.
They were all right with that. Woo. They had to be all right with that.
Of course they had to be all right with it. But I was like the only one that was like, I'm not going. And then when I said that, all the other girls on the tour were like, oh, okay. Yeah. We're not going either.
Yeah.
I was like, no, that was like by that time it was my 8th tour. So I was like, I've already done enough of the, you know, I mean, my first tour in Iraq, I mean, we got shot at in the Blackhawks plenty of times. But those are also, that was really fun.
Yeah.
I was so, we were in the green zone. We were basically, so when you've been on those tours.
Yeah.
So the Blackhawks have to fly in twos. Have you done those, Ryan? Okay.
Nope. Black and here's why. These stories scare the shit out of me. I'm not kidding you.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I was going through some of my stuff the other day, and I looked in the safe that I have in my home, and I found this letter to my parents that I wrote before I went to Iraq in case I didn't come back. And I was like, oh. Like, so I just was so sad.
They're like vets listening right now. It's like, Jesus Christ, slow it down.
I know.
They're out there listening in a Humvee at night right now.
Get back
fucking missiles
Taz
are going
talk.
Over their heads.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know what else was really sad on that tour? So I was like looking for the guys from my hometown, from the 137th Brigade, I think they were, from Calhoun. And, you know, I can't know where they are. So just the day of, I found out we were going to go see them. They were in the green zone. I was like, oh, my God. Like, this is incredible. And at that time, we were still doing the what is that called? Well, you ride in the cars, but in a
caravan?
Team, the caravan. They don't do those anymore. They don't allow them because it's too dangerous. But we'd be in those cars that are like the windows are 2 inches thick. Like they're like bulletproof cars, and the big bulletproof part is under the bottom. It's like this crazy expeditions, and then that you'd have the Humvees and stuff that you'd ride in, and then there were like two guys that circled the caravan the whole time.
Good,
it's insane. And but that road got blew up that
Hope
day.
They like my dick jokes. Yeah, I got 8 minutes of dick jokes to sling here, guys.
They
blew up that road while you were on it.
No, before we went,
man.
And I was like, we have to go. We still, and then they just canceled it. And the sad thing, I was like, well, maybe they didn't know I was coming. But then I found out that they had ordered ribs, like Southern barbecue.
Yeah, they were going to do it up for you.
Wow.
And like at 8 o'clock, we were supposed to be there. And then at 8:05, they came in and they were like, sorry. And they put in a Chris Rock DVD.
They probably just ate all those
Very
ribs.
Very similar.
Like, just tell her.
Maybe they were just lying. Yeah, but yeah, it was... That wasn't, but when we were in a Black Hawk one time going over the green zone, and they sent off the flare because they have radar lock on you. And we were with this guy. His name was Major Hater. That was his name. Hater.
Bill Hader's dad?
Yeah, I wish.
Major
this guy,
Hater. Man, this guy's a major hater.
This guy, like everybody called him Major Hated because he was like a square, right? And he was like, he flew a desk. So he was that guy.
He flew a desk.
Right, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what those are their words, not mine, in case Major Hater is listening.
Billy O'Connor.
He's probably fucking General Hater right now, and I'm going to get kicked out of the country as a spy. But as soon as that flare went off, he was like, what was that? And I was like, you're in charge. Like, do you not know? He was scared shitless. And the rest of us were like, oh, yeah, the flares go off when they get radar locked. So we're okay. We'll be landing in a second. I remember one time, I keep talking, sorry. But
that's why you're here.
I know. I just realized I said that. I need more whiskey. So we were doing a show at a hospital, and we were supposed to get a ride back. But there was a sandstorm, so we couldn't fly because they can't fly in a sandstorm because they can't see the ground because they fly really low. And then so we're gonna have to spend the night in the hospital. It was like our first time actually getting we were at Bayop by Baghdad International Airport, and we got to stay in Saddam's like hunting lodge.
I remember you telling me
it
some
was
stories
insane. It was like gold and like Saddam's these giant shit, yeah. beds, and we're like, yes, we finally have like this fancy cool place. We go to the show, and they're like, you can't get a ride back. You're going to have to sleep in the hospital.
Oh.
And we're like, ah, damn it. And then last second, like late at night, like 3 hours later, they're like, hey, we got you a lift. So we're going to take you back. And we're like, sweet. And we go to the tarmac, and they're like, we just have to drop these guys off at Abu Ghraib, the prison. Like,
yeah.
And we look over, and there's 4 guys with hoods on their heads and glow sticks around their neck. So if they run, they can find them. And then they just
mixed in with you comics.
Well, they were on the other one. They were on the other.
Oh, okay. Because every time we would take different flights or like different things, because like we would be delayed. You're military. You just like have to wait and like, all right, we're gonna get you guys with these guys, and then you're just. I mean, there were times where we were like with guys that were like just coming back. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Times we were with guys that were leaving, and the dudes coming back were like, ugh. And
right, the they have the beards.
Were stoked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was always. By the way, I stayed in. We did one of the palaces in Iraq. We stayed in. They're like, all right. So we were in the palace, and they go, so you see out that building way out there in like the distance? Like, yeah. They go, that's one of Saddam's other palaces.
Oh,
you could see a palace
so
from palace.
Yeah,
he had like 53. We stayed in the rape house. They're like, oh yeah, this is a rape house.
They called it that?
Yeah, that's where he used to rape women, kill them, and then just drop them in this lake. Jeez. You know that one that has the pond, the best trout fishing in fucking America.
Oh yeah,
the world?
No, but none of them will eat because Saddam told them they were magic fish, and if the people are starving, he's like, if you eat those, this fish will tell me.
But those fish are eating bodies, aren't they?
They were.
I wouldn't be.
They
would
also.
There was like some of the best trout fishing in the world was in this like man-made fucking.
I think it was carp.
Was it carp?
It was carp. Mm-hmm. And then there were also these like weird catfish looking fish with like face, like the front of their face looked like a catfish and the back of their body looked like an eel. And we would throw out our breakfast like eggs, bacon, biscuits, and they would just gobble it all up. It was so weird
Microwave
to see
eggs?
Fish. Yeah, hell yeah. Okay.
I just like that they're mixing you guys like there's a fucking loud ass helicopter like... Jay, I love that wrong number, man. Hey, will you move on? We got 3 POWs we need to put in this job all the way back.
Hey, people need a ride, you want to go as soon as you can go.
We're like, are we stopping at Abu Ghraib first?
Yeah,
or
right?
Can we go home first?
Can I get dropped off first? Yeah.
We did a show one time, and like, you know, they give you a tour of the base. So they're like, oh, these are our office. They want to show you like where the pens are. And you're like, oh, all of them are there? So the black pens and the blue? Oh, nice. You engage. And I was like, ugh, these offices are creepy. And they're like, oh, yeah, this used to be the torture house. And you're like, what?
Ugh.
And you look up, and there's a hook hanging from the ceiling, which they have flypaper on, because now that's just their office. And they're like, oh, yeah, Saddam used to throw parties, and it was, you had to go. If you didn't show up, he'd kill you. And then everybody would be hanging out, and then he'd move you into another room. And if there was a chandelier, it was a party. If there was a hook, someone was getting tortured and made an example of. Like, they just never knew that. And also, all those palaces. So these people are starving, by the way.
Man,
and
that's a hell of
the bottom fight. Part of Iraq. Jeez. Used to be the Fertile Crescent. That's where the Tigris and the Euphrates meet. That's where the Garden of Eden, suspiciously, you know, is started. And now it's a desert wasteland because he cut off the river so nobody could get water. And all the palaces had to make a 10-course meal for him every, and all of his cronies, so whatever, like 40 people a day.
And obviously he can only be at one at a time.
And if he didn't show up, they had to throw it away.
Not
every
give it to
three
the people.
Day, three times a day,
that.
And everybody's
insane.
Starving.
And also, if he showed up and you didn't make that fucking food,
yeah, bye, you're dead.
Hook party,
yeah.
Hook party.
Wait,
hold on. Let me just say this.
Okay,
when we did, because like we did a hospital too. Like you went and performed for guys that are in the hospital. We did a couple ones, and man, we were this kid. I can't remember his name, but he's from Detroit, and he started doing crowd work, and not the right move.
Oh, the comic was from Detroit. Oh, not the guy in the hospital.
And he goes, he said something like, what are you in here for? Why are you in here for?
Like it's jail.
He goes, why are you in here? And the guy goes, ah, it's kind of lost it, you know, in my head. Kind of lost it. He's like, oh, yeah? He goes, that's all right. We're all going through some stuff. And he's trying to, like, recover. We're in the back, like, fucking flashing, like, get out. Get out, dude.
Wrap it up.
Wrap it up. PTSD's coming, guys.
You wanted me to tell you a small world story, and I just remembered a small world story. So when I got back from Afghanistan in 2011, this would have been August or September of 2011, I get back, and I find out I have meningitis. It's like probably 3-4 weeks after I get back, because meningitis, you can only catch it through like bodily fluids. So I'm like, what? There's no, I've not kissed anybody. Like, I have no, I'm... And then I realized that I got it in Afghanistan because we would go to these bases that if they...
Different than Saddam Carp.
Saddam wasn't
Don't
in Afghanistan. It wasn't in Afghanistan.
His carp
swim. Some of these bases were so desolate, they didn't have bathrooms, right? They didn't have porta potties because there's no way to empty them. So they had these like stalls with just like a toilet seat, and then you have to use a wag bag. So you have to like put this bag over the... It's called like waste alleviation. Something. You put the bag over the seat.
Proud
you go in the bag. Hey, wag bag.
Wag bag.
Wag it up. So
all of our guests get to take one home.
That's so nice.
Yeah, that's, really, yeah.
That's great.
You
get an MRE,
right,
so you need a wag bag. You get an MRE and a wag bag together. So you know, normally guys go number two in there, and they go number one in the pee tubes around the base. But as a girl, I cannot go into the pee tube, so I have to pee in a wag bag. So basically, you pee in it, you put this gel in there, you seal it up, then you walk over to the fire and you throw it in. And obviously, all the stuff that's burning in there can get into you. And normally when it's heavy, you could throw it from a distance. But when it's light and you throw it, it just rolls down the base. So I'm constantly chasing the wag bag, and I have to get right up to the fire to throw it in. So
and breathe everyone's shit.
Right. So I get back.
And another, I mean, I support the troops. But
I don't know if you know
meningitis. This is a near-death series right here.
It is another one. It definitely is. So meningitis is an infection in your brain and spinal fluid.
Mm-hmm.
So... For over the course of 9 days, I had a headache that would not go away. It continued to get worse and worse. I went to the emergency room twice. They told me it was just a cold.
Here, you're back in the States?
I went to one in Georgia, one in Tennessee. I happened to be back in Georgia at the time. And then I got back to L.A. I'm stuttering. I start losing all my motor functions, walking ability. I'm stuttering I'm trying to walk. I'm not able to walk. I should not have been driving. And
you think?
Yeah, I know. But finally,
she has an oxygen mask on.
I look it up on WebMD because I'm like, I'm putting on all my symptoms. There's so many symptoms, and it says meningitis, and I'm like, I don't know. So my friend works for a neurologist, so she's like, and I didn't have health insurance, so I was like, can you just tell me what's going on? So I go to him, and he's like, you need to go to the emergency room right now. I was like, okay. So I went to Cedars. They're like, what's wrong at the admissions office? And I said, I think I have meningitis. I think I have meningitis. And they're like, there's no way you have meningitis. Go sit down. Because I'm like walking around.
Yeah.
Like I'm, you know, woman. We're tough, right? We're just like acting like pain's no big deal. 3 hours later, they let me go in.
Three hours.
I'm waiting in there. I finally go in. I tell the nurse. And the doctor comes in. And she's like, why do you think you have meningitis? I was like, I was in Afghanistan. And she's like, why were you there? And I said, I was buying a house, because that's what I always say when people ask me.
Right,
like,
yeah.
I just need a summer home, yeah. And I like 130-degree weather. I just if I had enough goats, but I didn't have enough. And so I tell her the story, and she's like, that's so crazy. Like, my son is in Afghanistan. And I was like, and she's like, and he said he saw a comedian. I was like, well, if he saw a girl, it was probably me. And so then they come. The actual doctor comes in. She's like, I'm going to have to do a spinal tap. So they roll me over. She does. She's like, I'm going to just show you. You can't move, because then you can paralyze yourself.
Right.
So she does a spinal tap. Immediately, they're like, you have meningitis. They admit me to the hospital. I was there for a week.
A week?
And,
damn.
Yeah. But as I'm waiting to get admitted, the nurse who was talking to me about why I was in Afghanistan comes back, and she shows me a picture of me and her son on
my
phone.
Oh, yeah. I just got chills. Yeah. No way.
She's like, that is you. And I was like, scene of the crime. Yeah.
She's like, wow. Now what's your insurance?
And it was at the same weird outpost base where I think I got it.
She's like, my son just came home with meningitis. Over there, he's stirring shit bags over there.
That's his job.
Kevin, get out here. He's fine now. Look, he's walking. Yeah.
Wow.
So I was there for.
You can't wave, but.
So wait, how did you pay for that?
Man,
I ended up. So I had to get. It was like $30,000, but then I got the charity for Cedars-Sinai helped me, so I only owed 10%, and then I found out a month later that I actually had SAG insurance. And I didn't know it, and they ended up paying for it.
Oh, that's nice.
So it all worked out.
I would have been calling up the military being like, hey, guys.
If I had gone when I was there, it would have all been taken care of.
Right.
But it's always funny when you do have something wrong with you on a military base. They're so excited to help you because they never have anything
that's
kind of. Then you know the number one surgery they do on military bases is a vasectomy.
Are you serious?
Every hospital I've ever been to overseas, they're like, yeah, we like put arms back on, but we do vasectomies mostly.
That's our specialty.
Wow. Yeah,
excel.
Coming and going right before they go home and right when they come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the time. Wow. It's so funny, yeah. So anyway, that was my small world experience.
Well, that was a great story.
They saved my life.
And this has been a great episode. Thank you so much for coming on and doing this with us.
You're welcome.
Will you one more time plug, promote anything you'd like?
Everything's on Saratiana.com, and there's also a link to catbandana.com if you'd like to go there and get something for your pet. They're only $5 and $10, and my mom makes them all. I sell them at my shows live, so you can also buy them there. I'll be in Minnesota at the House of Comedy at the beginning of April. I'll be in Nashville. I'll be in Indiana. Bloomington. Indiana. Yeah. I'll be at the La Jolla Comedy Store in March. Yeah,
right on.
I'm all over.
A lot of places
Salt Lake
to go see
City's
Sarah.
Coming up. Yeah. All kinds of fun places. I'm a very fun live show person, and I usually do a different show every night.
Awesome.
That's
great.
Yeah.
That's
something nice. Different, not the whole right. show. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's great to have you on.
Thank you for
so
having
glad
me
we
back.
Had you. You're welcome. As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest.
WebMD.
RyanSickler.com. Ryan Sickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next Tuesday.